chapter 5. Did you get one of these? When preaching and private talk are not available, you need to have a tract ready. Get good striking tracts or none at all. But a touching gospel tract may be the seed of eternal life. Therefore, do not go out without your tracts. Charles Spurgeon. A tract, a presentation of the gospel on a small piece of paper, postcard, booklet, etc., is one of the most important ways you can share your faith. Many lost people have a Bible but never read it, yet they will read something about Jesus that is not very long. Tracts are an effective way for the lost to hear Scripture and are often used by God to give people an interest in reading His holy word. They're a great way to plant seeds of the gospel. Handing out tracts is also a very simple way to get started in witnessing. Shy people may want to begin by distributing tracts and then progress to verbal witnessing as their confidence builds. When I'm out witnessing using my survey approach, which I'll talk about in chapter 7, I carry tracts in my pocket. As I get to the end of the conversation, I either read through the tract with the person or tell them, "I have a gift for you for helping me out." People love gifts, so give them a gift that talks about the greatest gift ever, Jesus Christ. Tracts are useful even when you are verbally witnessing, because you may get nervous and may not say things the way you want to. A well-written tract will explain sin, repentance, and the gospel in a clear, concise manner. One time in a mall, I approached a couple of teenage girls to begin a conversation. They didn't want to talk with me and turned to walk away. I said, "Well, you get a gift even though you didn't want to help me out." They came back, took two tracts from me, and began reading the tracts aloud to each other as they walked through the mall. Another time, I had been chatting with a couple of people for a few minutes. One of them said, "Wait a minute, you talked with me last year at this mall. Matter of fact, you gave me a booklet about Jesus and I still know where it is." I said in disbelief, "No, you don't." "Yes, I do," he said. "It is on the top shelf of my desk right now." I was amazed that he knew right where it was. I had the feeling he had read it more than once. In Atlanta, a lot of concerts, basketball games, and other events are held at Phillips Arena. I often hand out tracts to people as they come off the trains or are going into the arena. I will say something like, "Enjoy the game," or "Have a nice evening," and then extend a tract towards them. When you are friendly and smile, people usually respond the same way. So the nicer you are, the more likely they will talk with you or accept a tract from you. One day I was downtown at the arena handing out tracts, and a girl walked up to me and asked, "What have you got for me this time?" She described each of the three tracts I had given her before, and she wanted to know if I had any new ones. She was not a believer, but she really liked the tracts. A couple of weeks after September 11th attacks, I was downtown handing out tracts again. She approached me and started a conversation. We talked for over 1 hour, but we would have never talked if I had not handed her a tract that first time. When I go downtown, I often hand out tracts on one side of an arena or football stadium to the people attending the event. Then once the event starts, I go to the other side of the arena and put tracts on cars in the parking lot. Many times I'll ask a homeless man to help me and pay him for his time. You can place the tracts under windshield wipers, but a much better idea, if the tract is not flimsy, is to slide it between the rubber piece and the window by the driver's side door handle. That way the people see it when they unlock their doors and can easily grab it. Most people don't like to litter, so they will place the tract in their car and drive off. I have seen many individuals sit in their cars and read the entire tract before driving away. So be encouraged, the lost really do read them. As I walk through airports, I like to hand out tracts before boarding my plane. I ask people, "Did you get one of these?" They usually say they didn't, and then they take one. This is a great question that makes them feel like they are missing out on something. And they are. They are missing out on the best thing in this world and in the next one, Jesus Christ. Use this question and you will hand out a lot of tracts. Beach areas are also a great place to witness. Whether it is daytime when people are worshiping the sun or nighttime when they worship the nightlife, people always seem to be hanging out and ready for conversations. One night in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, I was witnessing with a young man who had heard me speak at a camp. We were using the survey approach and had an excellent 20-minute conversation with three 18-year-old girls from Kentucky. At the end of the conversation, I told the young ladies that they got a gift for helping us out. I handed the first two a tract, but the third girl declined. I asked, "After the great conversation we just had, you don't want this?" She replied, "No, I don't." "Okay," I said, "I'll give you $1 to read it." "Nope." "$2." She shook her head. "I'll give you $5 to read it." She still refused. "I'll give you $10 to read it." I persisted. She finally agreed. So I put a $10 bill with the track and extended it toward her, then pulled it back slightly and said, "Now, anyone who would walk up to you and share his faith is assured that he has the right answer. And anyone who would pay you to read about his faith is 100% assured that he has the right answer." I then handed her the money and the track. You should have seen the surprised look on her face. I am pretty sure that no one had witnessed to her before, but I am convinced that no one had ever given her money to read about God. I don't think those girls will ever forget the conversation we had that night. At the time I did that a few years ago, I had just recently started public speaking and made about $4,000 that year. With an annual income of $4,000, $10 is very important. But do you think that if you spend $10 for someone to read about Jesus, God will get $10 back into your pocket? You had better believe it. God is more faithful than we can ever dream. The great missionary Hudson Taylor said, "God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supplies." A few days later, as I was praying, God really touched my spirit. It was very clear that he was asking me how much a soul was worth. Was it worth $10? $20? $4,000? And God clearly impressed my spirit that we should be willing to empty our bank accounts for one person to know Jesus Christ. We can't imagine the value of a soul to God except to look at the cross. Think about this. Why are we the only generation in history that feels we need $300,000 in an IRA account on which to retire? Why didn't any generation feel that way? Are we trusting money more than we're trusting God to take care of our needs in life? I'm not saying that we shouldn't plan for the future, but why does God allow some people to have that much money? How will we feel on Judgment Day when God asks us what we plan to do with all that money now that we are dead? And then he explains that the income he blessed us with was intended to support missionaries, buy Bibles, and to help spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. We will not feel good on that day. A couple of years ago, I had some money in an IRA account. Although it was not a lot, it seemed like it to me. I finally realized why I had that money, and it was not to retire on. It was for me to fall back on just in case this whole speaking thing didn't work out. That is pretty shallow and not too godly, so God started to tug on my heart to take the money out and give it away. If you only knew how difficult this was for me. At that time, I was one of the stingiest people ever with a dollar bill. The decision was excruciating, but I knew what I needed to do, so I took the money out of the IRA account and began giving it away. I was supporting missionaries in other countries, buying Bibles for China and Sudan, feeding the hungry, etc. It was so much fun to give it all away. A few months later, however, I had to pay my taxes. I had completely forgotten that I owed tax on the money I withdrew, and I had not set any of it aside to pay the taxes. But God, who knows all our needs, had someone give me enough money to cover the taxes. Through that experience, God has taught me to be a giver and to really know what it means when he says that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Please be a giver. It is the only way to live this life. There are a few things I hate in life, but grocery shopping is one of them. Since I love to eat, however, it is one of those necessary evils. One time in a grocery store, I was next in line to check out. I could tell by their language that the family in front of me was from another country. They didn't look like they had a lot of money, so I had the thought that I should buy their groceries. While the cashier was checking their groceries, their son was checking out the interesting items on the rack. He reached down and picked up a huge squirt gun called a Super Soaker. Obviously, his dad had him put it down because he couldn't afford it. So I bought him the Super Soaker. He was so excited. When I checked my two items out, my bill was $79, and I just went in to get two items. Afterwards, I was chatting with the family and discovered there was only one person in the family who could speak English. Can you guess who it was? It was the young kid with a brand new Super Soaker. So I shared the gospel with him and gave him a track and asked him to share it with his parents. Keep doing crazy, loving things for our God. He can use your generosity to touch lives and make an eternal impact. One reason I hate to go to grocery stores is that I can't usually do as much witnessing there as I would like, so to make the most of the opportunities, I park at the far end of the parking lot and place tracks on the cars as I walk in. Then once inside, I walk over to the beer section and slide a small track, 2 inches by 3 inches, inside 12 packs and cases of beer. Then I head over to the 12 packs of Coke and Pepsi. Those companies are so thoughtful, they actually put a slit on the side of their cartons that is just perfect for sliding tracks into. I figure if Cracker Jacks can give you a surprise, why can't I? One day I was walking out of a bank, I noticed three guys in a van. I walked over to them and began to hand them tracks. As I handed the third guy one of those small tracks called a smart card, He said, "Oh, I've seen one of those." Surprised, I asked, "You've seen one of these?" I had just gotten there, so I couldn't figure out how he had seen one. He said, "I bought an 18-pack of beer the other day, and that thing was slid right down inside there." Amazing. Just a few days after finding a track in his beer, he met the guy who put it there. We serve a great God. Keep planting those seeds. He will give you creative ideas for reaching the lost. My first speaking engagement in Canada proved to be quite an experience getting there. The trip from Atlanta to Medicine Hat required 3 connections. I don't often get sick, but I was not feeling well this day. Once in Calgary, I needed a passport to get through customs. Unfortunately, I didn't have mine with me, so I had to go through another line. Once through that line, I rushed to make my connection and arrived at the gate just as the door was closing for boarding. I tried all of my persuasive ability to get on that plane, but to no avail. I had to wait another 2 hours for the next flight, and I was none too happy. While I was sulking, I decided to walk around the airport and hand out tracts. I stopped to look around a gift shop. Then I handed the man behind the counter a tract as I left. A while later, I was walking down the same hallway, and that man saw me. He called me over to talk and told me that he was a Christian and his father was the airport chaplain. Because not all chaplains are followers of Jesus, I first did some probing to make sure this man really had a commitment to Christ. He said, "Yesterday my dad tapped the pocket on my shirt and told me, that is a tract pocket." His dad meant that it was a pocket to hold tracts so he could give them away. "I didn't know what a tract was," he continued. "Now I do, since you handed me one, and now I know where to get them. When you're running late, thank God and see how he might use you to glorify him and further his kingdom." After I spoke at a Christian school in Augusta, Georgia, one of the teachers took me out for dinner. We drove to downtown Augusta, parked the car, and began to walk towards the restaurant. I noticed a woman by a car, so I walked over and asked her, "Did you get one of these?" She said, "No." I handed her a tract, told her to have a good evening, and continued toward the restaurant. As we were sitting in the restaurant, getting ready to order, the teacher looked up and said, "Mark, it's time for some follow-up." I said, "Follow-up?" I said, "I haven't even done any witnessing yet." He pointed toward the door as that woman walked into the restaurant. How she found us, I will never know. The restaurant we were in was a good stretch away from where I had handed her the tract. She came over to our table, held out the tract, and asked, "Did you give me this?" I responded, "Yes, I did." She said, "You don't know how much I needed to hear what this had to say." I reached out and took her hand and shared with her what the Lord had done in my life and what he could do in her life. She continued, "My roommate is my rock. She's a Christian. She's a waitress in a local restaurant, but she used to be a dancer just like I am. This woman was a stripper in a local strip joint." Pointing to the track, she said, "This is now the third thing that God has done to let me know the exact decision that I need to make, and this is the icing on the cake." Tears were welling up in her eyes, so I asked her if I could give her a hug. As I stood up and began to bend over to hug her, I noticed that several people in the restaurant were watching us. With her short shorts and a windbreaker over her top, this woman didn't fit the atmosphere. What were all these people thinking? They might have thought that I was getting a special favor for giving her a good tip at the club where she worked. Little did they know that I got the chance to see eternity touch this lady's heart, all because of a 5-cent piece of paper. I didn't care what those people thought. Their opinions did not matter. What matters is that we step out in faith and let the Lord use us. If God can use a 5-cent piece of paper in that woman's life, he can use it in anyone's life. Just step out in faith and let the Lord use you as a vessel to bring eternity, salvation, and surrender to the lost. With tracts, it couldn't be easier. As Spurgeon said, when we witness, we need good striking tracts. My favorite tracts come from Living Waters Publications. You can contact them at www.livingwaters.com or at 1-800-437-1893. Chick Publications also makes good tracts. You can view their tracts at www.chick.com. When I started sharing my faith, I never used tracts. I learned how to witness by having a verbal conversation with a lost person. To this day, the most thrilling part of witnessing is a good conversation with someone who doesn't know Jesus. The following chapters will give you the tools necessary to have those conversations with everyone you meet.